All right, welcome this morning to everyone. Get your Bible out. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's almost humorous, our subject today, in the relationship to one having a frog in his throat and all that, not putting it off, just going ahead and trying to battle through it. And that's what we'll try to do this morning. You'll see what I mean in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'd say this, as you turn there, the Bible has been reduced, or the Christian life, rather, has been reduced to earthly physical illustrations, and rather than the Christian life being aided by earthly illustrations. D.L. Moody, the great preacher of the century, two centuries ago, sort of, he said that an illustration was like a window that allowed light into a truth. But what has happened today is people have reduced the Christian life to the physical realm primarily, rather than realizing that the physical things are illustrations. For example, when he talks about sheep, it's good to study sheep, but we'd have to study sheep in relation to the scriptures about a believer, and then find the parallels in the lives of sheep and shepherding. And so in this case, we're going to talk about a worldwide subject that people practice, but they practice it in all kind of counterfeit ways. Let's read one verse to begin with, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, our subject is not about money. Anything you do in life includes your money, because second to time, money is a key stewardship. But I would say this to you, time is one of your greatest key stewardships. You cannot get time back. You could lose some money, you could spend some money, and you could find a way to earn it back sometimes, many times. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's set a foundation for this. So he said, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And I want to go a little bit further. Here's my opening statement. If you do not sow, you will never know. Or let's put it this way. You will never know if you do not sow. So whichever one of those things works to get inside your head as a Christian and paint a picture, then that's the one I want you to remember. You will never know if you do not sow. Now, let me say this to you. There are certain laws or axioms on this earth that God put there. Put there by the Creator, by the Lord God. And different events brought about different laws and axioms, but this law is there from the beginning. For example, you cannot get a crop out of the ground if you do not sow. I've used this illustration for years and years. I knew a young fellow whose family were farmers, and one of the crops they farmed was carrots. And it was a money crop when things were right and well. So imagine that they want to get out of the business, so they advertise it, and a potential buyer shows up during harvest time. And he shows up and he sees the carrots being pulled out of the field and washed and sorted and bagged, and he's thinking he's looking at orange gold, okay? And so he arranges it and he buys it. And a year goes by, and about that same time the next year, he calls up the person who sold him the farm, and he says, man, I'm pretty angry at you. I'm pretty bitter. He says, well, why is that? I've got no crop. I've got no crop. And the fellow's like, well, that can't be. Let's talk about it. He goes, well, I'm just telling you, you ripped me off. And he said, okay, what kind of seed did you buy and put in the ground? And the buyer says, what are you talking about? I thought this was a carrot farm. And the seller begins to laugh and chuckle to himself, not mocking the fellow, but saying to him, no, it's a farm, and you're going to have to be a carrot farmer if you want carrots out of it. You have to sow. Now, you might sow and not see the results in this life. You might sow and not know what God's done with it, but you will never know what God can do if you do not sow. If the seed is in the barn, it cannot grow. Galatians 6 and verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Why? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In your margin of your Bible, put a zero. Put zero equals zero. Whatsoever man soweth. Now, he's going to talk in verse 8 about sowing to your flesh and sowing to the spirit. But if you sow zero, you're going to get zero. You're not going to get a crop by accident. Anything that grows by accident is weeds. And many of them are bad weeds. And they're not edible and they're not worth it. So, I know you can find the rare thing, okay? You can go find some tree or some plant that has some kind of fruit that you can eat. But you're not going to live year in and year out on it. So, you know, there's no need to try that. If you really want an excuse, go ahead and find one. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You keep living a self life in between your church attendance and in between your little, you know, church social things, or you fellows, between ministering the word, go ahead and live carnal. See what you get in the end. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You will not know if you do not sow. I'm going to add two other words in there. I don't know if I'll get to them. You will not grow if you do not sow, and you will not go. I'm not talking about around the world even. You will not go out into this world daily for God if you do not sow. But the main thing is this. You'll never know. You will never know if you do not sow. There are some things you don't want to know. You don't want to know what it's like to fall 10 stories off a building. You don't want to know what it's like for alcohol to take hold of your life. You want to know what it's like. You do not want to know what it's like, as some people have, to have things like leprosy or STDs and illnesses and stuff from living. Listen, no man ever battled alcohol who abstained from it. Okay? No man, whoever kept from sowing alcohol into his body, ever had to battle it. No man ever faced prison who abstained from crime. I know. You're going to think of the exceptions where somebody got framed and all that. I get that. That's fine. But you know what I'm talking about. Sowing and reaping is a Bible thing. And there's many more verses we could go with it. I mean, there's many more. And rather than exhaust the verses, I want to sow this thought in your head and in your heart, in your mind. I'd like for it to go with you throughout your day. I'd like for you to think about it sometimes of a morning or an afternoon or evening or when an opportunity to sow comes up. Listen, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Two seasons, sowing and reaping in that verse. Ecclesiastes 11:4, you ought to write it down. You know, if all you ever do is look at the conditions, you won't sow. Oh, well, the wind's a bit blowing, da-da-da. You know, it's kind of like the guy who doesn't plow because it's cold, the sluggard of Proverbs. Now, the Bible's illustrated, translated, and I'm not talking about taking it into all, you know, going back to the Greek and Hebrew. I'm talking about translated as into living life. The Bible's a living book. It's for every day. He talks about casting seed and burying seed. You say, are there counterfeits? Sure there are. Things like karma. Someone says, oh, karma's foolishness. Well, it's not. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. One of the new things is pay it forward, pay it forward. That doesn't work unless God's involved. You can give away all you want. It doesn't mean it's going to come back. Now, God does put that principle into this world. He does. You will not know if you do not sow. You will not know if you do not sow. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9. We read 2 Corinthians 9 earlier. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? In the margin of one of my copies of my King James Bible, you know, I wrote in there, in a math equation. Have you ever seen the math equations where the sideways V means greater than or less than? If you wrote the word spiritual, you'd have to write that V with the open end towards spiritual and the small end towards carnal. Spiritual is greater than carnal. The lesson is that the spiritual has to be sown. And Paul says, I've sown unto you spiritual. You will not know God if you do not sow. Sow it into your heart, into your mind, into your memory, into your soul. Listen, three times a week is not nearly enough at a meeting. Three times a week, cracking open your Bible. I've joked for years that if all the Christians in the world blew the dust off their Bibles at the same time, you'd have the world's greatest ecological disaster. It would make all other sandstorms and dust storms look anemic. If you want to know God, yeah, three times a week's better than nothing. But too many Christians treat their Bible as some auxiliary thing that they just carry and they get a few texts out of and stuff. No, you got to sow it. If you want to know, you won't know what God wants for you if you don't sow it. You know what's happened today? Leaders, pastors, evangelists, preachers have bypassed this and helped people find things to do rather than require them to know God and know the book. You're not going to know God's laws. You're not going to know God's personality and God's power and God's capability and God's history with man, God's willingness to do for mankind. You're not going to know this. You are not going to know this if you do not sow. You must sow. And the first place to sow is into yourself. Too many of you want to sow your opinions to everybody else. You've picked up the world's thing, you know, this talk radio and talk back and talk, talk, talk. Listen, it's important. Others may not know if you do not know. It's not enough for you just to tell. You've got to know God. Look, he said in John 4, he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. One soweth, another reapeth. He said, I sent you to reap there whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, you're entered into their labors. And you and I, many times, when you lead a soul to Christ, or you find somebody looking for God, that's because someone else has sown, but you need to be sowing. You won't see the fruit that others reap. Okay? And you have reaped fruit that you didn't see other people sow. You will not know whom God can save, whom God can work in their life and call, etc., if you do not sow. Far too many Christians have lost this idea. They're too calculating. They're too measuring. They hold back themselves. I'm going to tell you for a fact, if you're not willing to sow into one person a ton of effort, you don't know what God can do with that person. I have lived to see God do amazing things through one person that I invested everything into. Now, he's done it with other people since then. And that one person actually was involved in bringing those other people. But you will not know how far God can go, how far God can lift and restore, if you don't sow. You have to sow his word. I'll tell you something else you have to sow is humility. It takes humility to sit down and study the word of God. It takes discipline to sow the Bible into your mind for later. I'm going to tell you this. I promise you this. There's far too many people in their 30s and 40s preaching today who have not really sown. They've tried to catch it just by going to church and a little bit of Bible reading. And they've never had the discipline. And they've never had the determination. And they've never died to self. And so they wonder why the people under their hearing just have these little spurts of emotion and these little spurts. Well, and listen, some of you preachers, your only motivation is that you're preaching. Oh, yeah. You mark your life. When you're not preaching, you slack off. Oh, you're not down at the pub. Oh, it's worse. The pub's with you. You know, in Leviticus chapter 19, he tells them, okay, that by not reaping certain things, they were sowing. You know what it was? They weren't to reap the corners of their field. And the reason they weren't was they were sowing. When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleans of thy harvest. You know why? They would allow the poor. If you remember the book of Ruth, that's what she was doing. Handfuls of purpose. And so, one of the ways we sow is by not reaping everything for ourselves. One of the ways we sow is by not keeping what we make or what we prosper for ourselves. That's why we sow our first fruits. The reason you hear people talking about tithing, which is a tithe is a one-tenth. It's the way God gave us to measure it, so it wasn't we wouldn't have to feel like we'd not done enough. The reason we do that is we're sowing. Listen, I've seen missionaries fail through the pride and ambition because they never sowed into themselves. A local church must choose carefully and then sow. You've got to sow your voice. One must sow his voice if he hopes to reap the fruit of the ministered word. They asked Mr. Moody, they said, how is it that when you preach, there's so much earnestness and intensity? You know what he said? And he wasn't talking about volume, by the way, okay? Some of you guys think that volume is everything. That's so foolish. Why don't you get some spiritual intensity about you to where you can just get up and speak, and God will take that book and put it down into people's hearts? It's because you don't trust God. You trust your presentation. And people are waiting for the presentation. They're waiting to get pumped up. They're waiting to get stirred up. They're waiting for you to wake them up because they've been up watching TV all night. But get this. They asked Moody that. He said, I preach and teach every time as if it may be my last. You know why that is? Because you've got to sow your voice if you hope to reap. And you'll never know if you don't sow. Now listen, I'd rather do what I'm doing right now and have done for all these years and risk no reaping than to guarantee no reaping by not sowing. You want to guarantee no reaping? Then don't sow. You want to guarantee a little tiny harvest in the end when you get to heaven? Then just sow sparingly. It's just this thought. You will never know if you do not sow. If you'll never grow. You will never grow. Oh, you can stay like you are. Let me tell you this. I am wore out with people telling these young people how great they are. You say, well, you're not supposed to put them down. No, you're not. But these people are satisfied. These young people today are satisfied with their mediocre Christian life. And they're satisfied with comparing themselves to somebody who hasn't grown like they have, say, or doesn't have the same exact knowledge or same position. You know the problem with that? Paul warned about a novice being lifted up with pride. Do you know why it's so hard to help young people? You say, who's young? 20s, 30s, maybe 40s. You know why it's hard to help them? Because they believe in themselves too much. They believe their press. All they can constantly feel is everyone patting their back. And when they're not getting patted on the back, they're like a dog wondering what's wrong. How come somebody's not scratching my top of my head and patting me? And here's the problem, brethren. The problem is that God said you've got to sow if you want to grow. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's more to the Christian life. I didn't say omitted, but there's more to the Christian life than giving your money and then living a ho-hum carnal life with strife and division and criticism and carnality. You don't give to missions to buy back your time. You don't give to missions to buy back carnality so you can live your life any way you want. We should give, and many of us give, and we really give. You've got to sow humility, for example. You know, it takes some humility to sit and listen and absorb for 2 and 3 and 4 years, 3 and 4 nights a week. You don't have that. These Christian colleges, that doesn't take any humility to go to a Christian college. All they're doing is pumping everybody up all the time. You take the pages of the Holy Spirit. The pages of the Holy Spirit are in your Bible, Scripture. Those pages have his heart and mind on it because he communicated this to God. As holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You take preaching and teaching. You need to find preaching and teaching that causes you to want to sow. Your body is set up this way. Because your body's durable, and by the way, it's incredibly durable yet frail, but because your body's durable, it's easy. It's very easy. Look, man, it's really easy to put junk into your body because you're getting by with it. And then the other extreme, oh my goodness, the other extreme is for the body to demand. Listen, those who are bodybuilding and into super exercise, that's also their body, 1 Corinthians 9, being on top of them. The body says, this feels good. If you find yourself looking in the mirror in a positive way, your body's in charge, friend. Your flesh is in charge. If you find you want other people to see what your body looks like, and I'm talking about fellas here. I cannot fathom a guy wanting someone else to see what his body looks like. Some other guy. And they're not effeminate or gay. You know what that is? That is flesh, flesh, flesh. That is a substitute. A substitute for spirituality. It's a substitute for real manliness. Your mind, your soul, your spirit. You've got to sow if you want them to grow. You've got to sow into your mind and make it work. One of the great exercises of things like mathematics, for example, and languages, is it makes your mind grow. You sow in there. Now, I'm just trying to get this thought across. We could go. I've got tons of scripture sitting here. But and there's tons we could use, okay? You will not know what God can do if you do not sow. You may sow and not know till later. That may happen, but you will not reap later if you do not sow. God isn't going to give you something else if you don't sow. You say, well, they reaped where they did not sow. Yeah, and then they had to go out and sow. He didn't let them spend their whole life doing it. He doesn't do that. This modern soul-winning crowd, that's what they're trying to get away with, and it doesn't work. Well, I'm going to say this in closing. You will not go if you do not sow. Now, I'm not talking about go across the world. You know, so many people, they get this heroic thing going. They want to be hero. They want to be, well, why don't you be a hero today where you're at? Why don't you go out into life and do God's will, God's way? Let me give you an illustration. Sometimes sit down and slowly read the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis. Hebrews tells you he went out not knowing whither he went. And he just kept obeying God and obeying God. He had his stumbles, and you will too. But you've got to know what God's will is about the gospel, the world, the Christian life. In the book of Ephesians, there's three key words. And those three key words, as a little booklet by Watchman Nee, are sit, walk, stand. We have a whole generation of people in independent fundamental churches that think they're standing. They're standing because they've got this code, you know, and they're looking for a certain kind of preaching and they're looking for a certain kind of response. There's just a problem. They're not really actually standing because they're not walking because they've never sat. Here's the progression, dear friend. Sit, walk, stand. That is a progression. You can't skip those steps. And those steps are going constantly in your life. Each day when you sit down and open that book, you're sitting at those feet. When you attend the ministry of the Word of God, that's what's happening. So take and read Abraham's life and look at all the places he walked. He went out not knowing. See, when you go to work today, you don't know what you're doing. You don't even know why you're doing it. You're just going to work. But you're doing more than that. You're walking around the future inheritance. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. You're not going to inherit this earth. It's going to be dissolved. So we walk consciously that how I walk and where I'm walking is about the future. Okay? And you will not go out there and walk if you don't sow these truths into your heart and mind. They're trying to get young, they're trying to get people to go to the other side of the world before they understand how to walk on a daily basis and go out into this world as a believer. And so many of them fail at the daily life, on the daily level, and they don't realize it. Many of them cannot go and know which things should be left out of a culture, which things should be left in a culture, which things need to be added to the culture. Most of them can't because they haven't sown. You will not know if you do not sow.